Kevin Rounce with Kaylee Drago. Brad Hawkins on the line. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Kaylee. Good to be with you.
I am seeing that a bill has either gone through or is about to go through the, I think it's the state Senate, that would change how agricultural labor is like managed. Like they would actually be limited to a 40-hour work week and some of that stuff. What do you know about that bill?
That bill did pass the Senate. I voted against it along with some of my other Republican colleagues, but it was actually sponsored by Senator Curtis King out of Yakima, and it has to basically to do with another state Supreme Court case where they recently, as a state Supreme Court, issued a ruling on agricultural overtime and other wages. And this was an effort to try to strike compromise and try to get in front of this issue before the court, the state Supreme Court decides it for us. And I actually sponsored a bill related to the Sukuma decision on agricultural piecework a few years ago. And it's tough sledding. I mean, the state Supreme Court, just like whether it's the McCleary case or this Blake drug possession case or the Hearst water case or some of these other things, they're not necessarily friendly to agriculture. And so I can understand why some of my colleagues want to try to strike an agreement to kind of try to preempt the court. But the challenge is I don't believe that a lot of the orchardists and farmers across Washington State, and certainly in North Central Washington, were really aware of what was happening. But now the bill is alive because it survived the cutoff. It was the last bill to get approved in the state Senate by that March 9th date. And so now it goes over to the House of Representatives for consideration, hopefully refinement, and I will likely get a chance to vote on that bill up or down one more time.
What does it do, though? What do orchardists need to know about what, or orchardists or farmers in general need to know about what that bill would do?
Well, it's interesting. It basically, there's an issue with the dairy, and that's what the dairy workers, and that's what the state Supreme Court case had. But this bill would basically put in place after a certain number of hours worked per week, a time and a half option for overtime. Basically, establish an overtime option, but make it something that is workable to the orchardists. And the challenge with some of these bills, Kevin, is that some of our larger agricultural stakeholders, like the Stamilts and the McDougals of the world, they could, maybe Auville, they can absorb some of this, perhaps. Although I think they've been really challenged too with a lot of things going on with the pandemic. But some of these smaller orchardists, you know, it's just getting increasingly more difficult for them to stay in business. I, of course, as a senator for the 12th district, I support everybody, but it's kind of hard to actually comment on the bill. I could talk about it like in its current form, which I did, but I do anticipate that bill will change in the House of Representatives. In fact, that's what the prime sponsor was saying, is saying, like, we need to come up with a solution. This is a work in progress, but let's keep it moving so that we don't leave it in the hands of the state Supreme Court, which frankly has been an unfriendly court, not only to agriculture, but to a lot of the other anti-tax, drug possession, and wage measures in the state.
And can you tell me a little bit about the landlord eviction charges going through the Senate?
Yeah, you know, that's a really unfortunate situation. I mean, what I've seen, just like speaking broadly, the political pendulum has really been swinging towards the tenants. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of acknowledgement about our landlords and the property owners and the investments that they've made throughout their lifetime. I mean, for landlords, you know, as property owners to own their homes, they're basically the, this is their investment. Often it's their retirement system. And we saw it recently with, there's been an ongoing landlord-tenant dispute about how you cannot evict tenants and how you cannot, utilize certain criteria for selection of tenants. And this particular bill would make it really difficult to evict tenants. And it's kind of a continuation of what Governor Inslee put forward in his executive actions, if you will recall, during the pandemic, where Governor Inslee basically said, during this COVID pandemic, there's an eviction moratorium. A landlord, a property owner, cannot evict a tenant for for their inability to pay. And what has unfortunately been an unintended consequence of that is that the tenants, even if they can pay, even if they have been receiving unemployment insurance benefits, have not been paying their rent all across Washington. While the landlords and the property owners still have their mortgages to pay, they still have their property taxes to account for. So I'm really disappointed in our state in the way things are heading to not acknowledge the significant investments of our property owners. And that particular bill, you know, it's just one of those things that does continue to change and move around. But the short answer is I think it's going to get increasingly more difficult to justify evictions for people, even if they can't pay. And to me, you know, that's problematic. I mean, what's going to happen is a lot of these property owners are just going to, you know, get out of the renting business and start selling their properties. And when that happens, it creates an even increasing demand and scarcity on availability for rentals, and squeezes out low income people in a community. So I actually see the changes that they're making, while some of the Democratic sponsors are trying to be helpful, I see it as being potentially very damaging to tenants in the years ahead.
All right, quick hitter or two, maybe just one, because we're almost running out of time. You wanted to address, we did talk about a little bit last week about that state in, or the capital gains tax that passed the Senate over the weekend, and you wanted to address a different aspect of it that people hadn't necessarily been talking about quite as much.
Yeah, well, thanks, Kevin. You know, a lot of people are very pleased with my vote, but a lot of people say, well, wait a minute. I mean, don't we have a really regressive system in the sense that the lower income percentages of the population pay a disproportionately higher amount in taxes, basically because of the sales tax? And that is true. I acknowledge that. We do have a very regressive system. But unfortunately, what was brought before the Senate, that narrowly approved by a vote of 25 to 24, wasn't a reform for anything. And there was talk about, well, our tax system's upside down, we need to change it. But it wasn't a reform. It basically just added a new tax. And once that tax is added, the state Supreme Court will likely uphold it because of the reasons I talked about with the state Supreme Court. And then eventually the exemptions and the thresholds will either get lowered or eliminated, and it will affect everybody. But it's not as if, and this is the issue I had too, it's not as if they were proposing an income tax or a capital gains income tax, something that the IRS acknowledges as income, but they were not proposing this capital gains tax and also correspondingly decreasing the regressive taxes, you know, to offset and make something revenue neutral as a reform. They were basically trying to add this tax to increase the revenue, to layer on taxation across the people of the state of Washington, and eventually get to a point where it will impact everybody and continue to raise revenue and grow government. And to me, that's not a reform. To me, that's disingenuous. And on, I couldn't support it.
All right, Brad. I hope next week we get to talk a little bit about what the transportation is doing with that carbon legislation, because I'm guessing that you guys are going to be knee-deep in it by that point. But thank you so much for joining us today. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Yeah, thanks so much. Appreciate it.